Welcome to the program. Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC, and we are live, reporting from our usual undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. Friday, we made it. We're here. And what a week it's been. So for one thing, we've got now a president-elect who has been debriefed, yes, on everything that's related to the Russian hacking. So as we've learned today, Trump, you know, they've set up a special room for him inside of Trump Tower, where he's able to receive these highly secure briefings. And so I guess it's a room that even a Russian hacker, what was his name, Fancy Bear. Even Fancy Bear couldn't hack into the room, presumably. But nonetheless, so Trump emerged from the meeting and seemed to be a little more conciliatory. He said some things about how, it's hacking is a real threat, occurs across the board. And so he's backing off, it seems, off of some of his earlier statements. Now, I think all of this is really interesting. Because one of the key issues here, the part that totally mystifies and just confounded me from the very, very beginning, is how many hacking stories have we read, listened to, heard of in the last, 10 years? There have been many, okay? And most of them, incidentally, involve communist China. I mean, the Chinese are some of the most prolific hackers. And they have stolen from us basically everything, from aircraft carrier plans down to the layout of I'm sure, President Obama's bathroom on Air Force One. I mean, if there's a blueprint to steal, the Chinese have stolen it. They're so good at this. I mean, they're this is well established, right? I mean, in fact, you don't even have to dig that deep for this. I came across an article. I'm going to pull it out here. Presumably credible, because it appears in a, news organization called CNN. This is just from August of last year. Not even a full year ago. And they're talking about China. They're talking about how China's the greatest cybersecurity threat to the United States, and how the year before that, now think about this. This is how naive and stupid the Obama administration is. Do you know they had a summit with China, and they sat down with China, and they said, you know what, we're going to make a deal with you. We are going to agree not to hack you if you agree not to hack us. Now, I'm saying they're stupid because I presume that the Obama administration was dumb enough to abide by the agreement. And if you've ever tried to do any business in China, I'll tell you this, you know what I'm talking about. The Chinese shake a hand on a deal, and then it's like the deal never happened. So it's disarmament with the Soviets all over again. And I'll get there because the Soviets link up to all of this. There's a strange thing afoot. Here we have spent so much time talking about the Russians, presumably, hacking into John Podesta's email. Let's just be clear about this. You know, it's not hacking into the whole U.S. election. It's getting into Podesta's email, finding out a bunch of dirty bird tricks that he was up to and the rest of the DNC was up to. Getting Donna Brazile's email where we find out she's, sneaking questions from the town hall meeting, from the debate to Hillary. All it is a sneak peek into dirty tricks going on behind the scenes at the DNC. Dirty tricks that we basically all pretty much knew or expected were already happening. And yet, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the Chinese are hacking into Lockheed Martin. They're hacking into Hughes Aerospace. They're hacking into Boeing. They hacked Obama and McCain during the 2008 election. I mean, there's... who does this? Who has a source here? And Gizmodo, they had a great... They did a story on this. And it was with the same phishing emails. So no one cared. Or at least no one in the media cared enough until... I mean, they're almost in nearly religious terms, right? One of the founding, you know, reasons for religion is to explain the unexplainable. Well, this is the new religion of the Democratic Party. Russia hacked the election because there is no other explanation for how the short-fingered vulgarian, so titled by Graydon Carter, whom Trump met with today, by the way, interesting side note, but there's no other explanation for how Trump could have won over Hillary. There's just no under, it's just so mind blowing. So not since creationism, not since, I mean, it is, it's that, it, and that's their obsession with it. Sidelining, by the way, all of this history with China that we have, even recent history, they stole one of our drones. A military drone that has sophisticated technology. It just scooped it up 3 weeks ago. Took it. Nothing. We're not getting it back. We don't have it back. We do? We got it back. But the point being is, did the media obsess over it the way they're obsessing over this? Not at all. So now, the history of all of this and the reason why, I'll tell you why it's happening. It's because it goes back to Nixon, the Kissinger era. Kissinger, it was Nixon and Kissinger primarily that opened the door to China. And China at that time, you know, was not the China that we know today. I mean, they were on the ropes. They had come across, they were hardcore communists. They practiced five-year plans. The country was starving. They're out of money. They'd come off that just a disastrous Cultural Revolution under Mao, and so they were on the ropes. And because Kissinger was a pessimist, did not believe that America could fight two communist adversaries that are neighbors, incidentally, right? He thought, we got to make friends with one of them. And since the USSR is our bigger bugaboo, our biggest threat that we face, which may have been true in the 60s, but because there it is, we're going to cozy up to China. And since then, we have made all sorts of concessions and approached China in a very favorable way, which has allowed China to grow and to prosper, to build their economy, to take advantage of us in trade, to steal from us. You know, part of the reason that China's so good at stealing from us isn't just because they've got good hackers, but because we traveled to Beijing. There were cases like this, especially under Bill Clinton, you know, where he was getting all this money from these different, you know, China-based guys. What was it, Charlie Tree? That guy that he knew from Arkansas. But anyway, he was the one we got to remember, this is not that long ago, where people, you know, people from defense industries were giving talks in Beijing at the university. We're giving everything up. We're telling people, giving away our secrets. And it's all because we have this very naive, dating back to the era of Nixon, a very naive concept of what China is and what kind of a threat China poses. And we saw it when Trump tried to criticize China, you know, and threw in the phone call. Oh, my gosh, we can't do that. We can't. You can't call the president of Taiwan. You can't piss off China. Why not? And it all goes back to this. And the irony of it, of course, is that China today is a far greater adversary, is far more dangerous than Russia, the Soviet Union, in its heyday ever was. Reagan comes along, puts the USSR on the mat, and quietly, stealthily, as best as the Chinese can do, are day after day growing and expanding. and their influence in the world cannot be underestimated. And this is where we need to readjust some of our thinking. And there is a great piece. By the way, Washington Post did a decent article, a decent job on this. David Filipov, who's their bureau chief in Moscow, has an article that came out a few days back. Putin won in 2016, but Russia has limits as a superpower. And it talks about in there just Russia's kind of on the ropes right now. Putin may have an 80% approval rating, but if you look at some of the fundamentals of the country, I mean, their GDP has dropped almost $1 trillion from 2013 to 2016. Russians are poor on average. I mean, they're, for one thing that he cites in there is people used to, 72% of Russians used to have a some savings 3 years ago. And that has dropped down to 27%. And more than half of Russians spend half their money on groceries. So there's things like he goes through all these different things that are indicators of a certain degree of poverty. Now, this is how it all comes back to the hacking. Fine. Putin has an 8% approval rating. His country economically is a wreck. Why is he so popular? Because he's projecting, he's taking what he's got, which isn't very much, and leveraging it to the max. To the max. In one example, they don't even have, you know, I guess in this article they cite how the military chiefs went to Putin and said, this would be right now, Obama's so weak, it'd be a great time for us to establish a base, a military base in Cuba. And you know what? It came down to money. They couldn't do it because Russia doesn't have the money to do it. And so what are they doing instead? They're doing low budget things that deliver the biggest bang for the dollar. So if they did this hacking, they'd fine. But by continuing to whine about it, by Obama, cut that out, Vladimir, it that only helps him and his position at home. Now, I don't have a portal into Donald Trump's brain. I don't. But it may just be. And Reason Magazine does a piece where they link up these two things and they say, look, you know, maybe we ought not to be treating Russia the way we treated the Soviet Union, that maybe it's time to shift our paradigms and to take off our Cold War goggles and recognize that China is the dangerous 800-pound gorilla overseas, and that maybe what we don't want to have is have China cozying up to Russia and building a bridge right into the heart of Europe. Maybe that's not what we want to have happen. And maybe one of the ways that we avoid that from happening is building some kind of a relationship, some kind of an opening with Russia, and at least using a bit of soft power, to borrow an Obama term, and being able to manipulate a position for ourselves without having to use any military force. And this is something that I believe is doable and I believe is smart. I don't know if this is what Obama's going for, Trump is going for, but I do know, I will tell you, that there are people there, people like Mathis, who is an absolute shrewd planner and is a shrewd manipulator and somebody who is versed in military leverage of taking, even if it's a small asset, and making it a bigger, more powerful asset. That I am sure this is something that is being talked about and is being considered. And it's just so silly and stupid of us to sit here and to, I mean, it's cyber espionage. Every country does it. Everybody does it. But we the level of just frenetic craziness that is coming out of the media right now, you would think that hacking Podesta's email was way worse than stealing aircraft carrier plans. And I don't see that. I don't. And it's all because of this old thinking, this old mentality. All right, we're going to talk about this some more when we come back. But in the meantime, I want to prepare you for something. Well, we're going to be here on Valentine's Day next month. We are. And I think, you know, because we have so little time and I take so few calls, on Valentine's Day, we're going to do something special here. On Valentine's Day, Robbie's very excited about this. We are not going to be Sam Nation. We are going to be Love Nation. So when we come back on Valentine's Day, yeah, February, what is it, 14th, it's Tuesday, I will be here, your host, and you can call in for relationship advice. One time only. All right, back after this. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
And Sam Murjovsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. You know, to illustrate just how dangerous China is, you know, I was talking to a friend, a source, who is in Air Force Intel, works specifically with the China issue, tracking China and kind of following them. So I wanted to ask him about the show and kind of prepare and get his opinion. And anyway, so here's what we got. We got to figure out. One thing what he said is he said China's really getting very good in the cyber realm, right? They're very good at hacking, you know, and computer, you know, penetrating computer networks. But where they're still far behind us is in overhead surveillance, which is, you know, we're very good at that. We put planes and satellites and things up in the air and that collect, you know, signals that are happening and transmissions that are happening on the ground. And that's part of the reason why they're after all of this technology. There's this joke, right? It doesn't matter what good you have. Chinese are known for counterfeiting, right? You know, the fake stuff. So this joke about copyright in China, have you heard this? China doesn't have a copyright. It has it's copy it right. That's how they do it in China. So the objective there is to steal as much of our military infrastructure plans, replicate it, rebuild it, because it's always quicker. It's always quicker to steal somebody else's blueprint than to go through the R&D and the expense of having to come up with it from scratch. And that's, in fact, by the way, how the Soviets got the bomb, if you'll remember. They had some spies who basically gave it to them. At any rate, our enemies spy on us. And the entire story here of Russian hacking has taken on, has taken on a life of its own. Because it's just not proportionate to the true effect that it had. And I think that the reason it's getting so much hype, again, like I said a few minutes back, that liberals are looking for an explanation for why Trump won and for why Hillary lost. And this isn't it. It just isn't. There was plenty of there's plenty of other stuff. There's plenty of other ingredients in the soup that led to the disaster in November. This is not a big part of the story, but it's understandable why they've latched onto it and run with it for so long. I think it's just going to go away now. There's been a briefing. Trump came out of it fairly conciliatory, and the only question I have, I heard Gingrich say this earlier today, and it's a valid point. You know, Obama got his briefing, what, yesterday or the day before? So, you know, the same briefing that Trump got today. Remember how it was delayed? Trump said, I'm going to come out and I'm going to talk to you. It was New Year's, during New Year's. He said, I'm going to come talk to you Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Trump said, oh, I didn't get my briefing. And there's a big brouhaha. We talked about it. And then because Trump had to wait for the president to get his briefing. So the briefing comes to President Obama first and then comes to Trump. And the million-dollar question is, you know, so why did Obama really not have the full briefing when he kicked out, you know, 34, 35 Russian diplomats and hit them with sanctions? This is like something's not adding up here. And no one's talking about this. You know, I've been literally watching cable news and CNN and Fox News all afternoon, and nobody's brought this up. And so, yeah, so obviously somebody somewhere threw him the Cliff's Note version, but and then, by the way, when you talk about the stuff that's, the way they've drawn the conclusions, when we come back, I'll tell you some of the ways that they figured out that, you know, some of the evidence that they have of the hacking. It's so absurd. All right, we'll be back after this. John Wolf with the news next. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. If there's anything that this program, that I, your host, stands for, it's this. There are more people among us that are like-minded than you realize.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. All right. Croissant-wich. Yes. Is that a thing? That's a Burger King thing? I don't think I'm ever going to have one. I'm just going to say that. but it does sound gourmet. I'll give them that. All right. So, yeah, we're talking about the hacking thing. And it's a story that I think it might just die. I think by next week it's gonna be over. Incidentally, you remember how the Russians had, you know, the first report that came out, they had all these different code names, all the different hackers that had supposedly been on the team that was trying to disrupt the presidential election. And, you know, joking, I think there was a Little Baron. And there was Dancing Bear, and then there was Fancy Bear. Well, China had its own hacking team, and do you know what their name was? Deep Panda. You can't make this stuff up. At any rate, so you know some of the evidence that they have, by the way, there's two separate questions. Did the Russians, who broke in? Who was the one who hacked into Panetta's email? Question one. And then the entirely separate question and issue is, all right, why? For what purpose? This is really important because, you can't just say, well, the Russians hacked the election, you know, because you're presuming then that the purpose behind the Panetta email hack, the efforts to break into the Democratic Party campaign or the Democrats' campaign, Hillary's campaign, was to affect the election. Was it to help Trump or was it to hurt Hillary? That's a separate question too, right? And now I see the New York Post is reporting there's some ideas as to why Putin wanted to hurt Hillary. I don't know if you caught this, but apparently it has to do with the fact that Putin believes, or at least this is what the CIA suspects, that Putin believes that Hillary was the one who Hillary and Obama had tried to influence some public opinion against him in Russia and had quietly supported some anti-Putin Putin factions within the government. And some obscure grudge also is mentioned in the story. He wanted to discredit Secretary Clinton because he felt that he was she'd said some comments that he felt were disparaging against him. But at the end of the day, the big smoking gun here as to not who hacked but why was a report that was substantiated by multiple sources. Wait for it. That Putin and his inner circle were celebrating on the night that Trump won the election. Did we pay for that? Is that the intelligence? Is that the great conclusion? I'm laughing because everybody knew this, right? I think Putin all but went on TV to say that he didn't want Hillary and he wanted Trump. I don't think we need any, I don't think that we need Deep Panda or Fancy Bear to find out any of those two important pieces of information. It's just this thing now that has made all the Democrats are up in arms about it. CNN is loving it. And now that Trump has come out praising the intelligence community and saying, yes, hacking's real and we're going to address it. I have a plan to take care of it. And in the hearing that happened, I think, yesterday on Capitol Hill. What one of the big things was they were asking one of the directors, the senators were, whether or not we have a problem retaining top talent, top cybersecurity talent. And the answer was actually pretty interesting because what actually happens is the people that are involved in cybersecurity, there's two sides of it. One side's in the military side, the uniform side, if you will, and then on the civilian side. And the answer that was given was pretty interesting, and it actually gives me hope that I think in the coming years we'll be able to address this. So I'll tell you what that was and how this all comes together. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here. So a lady's being chased by cops near the Susquehanna River. This is all the way over in the East Coast somewhere. She's drinking beer. So they're ready to pull her over for a DUI. And right as she comes to a stop, cop gets out, and then she guns it. Steps on the accelerator, flies away. Cop runs back into his car, chasing the lady. She goes down an embankment and goes plop right into the river. Her car is like half submerged in the river. And so here's cop, obviously pulls in after her, gets out, ready to make an arrest, and you're not going to believe what he saw. She's sitting there in her car drinking beer. So there you have it. Look, now, if she had hit somebody, and trust me, people like this, if you're so drunk and dumb that you are, fleeing from the cops and drinking beer, and then drinking beer after you crash into a river in the middle of what? The wintertime? January? You probably could hit somebody and hurt somebody. And if that happened to you, well, who do you call? There's only one attorney we trust here on the program, and that's Sweet James Bergener. That's right. Sweet James. He's the one who you want fighting for your rights, talking to the insurance company, dealing with the insurance adjusters, going through the whole rigmarole that you don't want on you. You don't want to be handling that. You might say the wrong thing. You might give up rights you don't know you even have. Don't do it. Just get help right from the very beginning. So if you or a loved one needs help, needs a lawyer, talk to Sweet James. Give him a call. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, and or you can visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. So, well, I have to explain this whole Sam Nation on Valentine's Day thing. At the office, from time to time, well, we've got a lot of young people that work at the firm, and they come in with their relationship issues and struggles. And as a manager, I have to talk to people about everything. And I'm known for giving really horrible good legal advice, but horrible love advice. I'm really blunt. Robbie's nodding his head. It's true. And it's become a bit of a joke at the office. So we thought, we find the right opportunity to share my relationship advice talent with all of you. And so I think the best day for that would be Valentine's Day. I really do. So mark your calendars now, because no Sam Nation that day. Love Nation. I'll be here, but just we won't. It'll be like no politics. Although, if you come to me with a relationship where maybe, let's say you're a conservative and you're dating a Democrat, or, if your husband voted for Hillary Clinton and you guys are having some problems, I'll talk to you about it. May not give you the advice you want to hear, but I'll talk to you about it. All right. So, yeah, can you believe this lady here? People do this kind of thing, this lady who ended up in the river and then start drinking beer. People think this is a misnomer, right? They think that if you're gonna get arrested for DUI, the first thing you gotta do is start drinking. When the cop comes up, if you're drinking alcohol in the car, it's no bueno. Because you hear about that, people running into the house away from the cops and immediately to start to drink, so the cop can't tell whether you were drinking before you got in the car or if it was after. But no, it's not. You're going to get arrested. You're going to get taken to jail. And I don't think anyone is going to believe you that the first thing you did after running away from the police was to start drinking. No, not going to happen. Well, anyway, we got just a quick minute here. So what we're going to do is we'll wrap with a few other news stories that we've got going on here. When we come back, I want to talk about the wall. Trump's talking about the wall. He's sticking to it. And you won't believe what Mexico has to say about it. We'll do that when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Welcome to California, where you can't even text and drive, but oh yeah, if you've got a nice 16-year-old, that means she can go prostitute herself. Welcome to the state of crazy.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Well, Trump says he's going to build the wall. So that, I guess, elevates it from mere campaign rhetoric. He's still talking about it days before he's to be sworn in as president of the United States. And he's basically directing Congress to figure out a way how to pay for it. But still maintaining that we pay for it up front. Congress needs to spot in the cash. And Mexico will repay the debt. To which former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, said, something I can't say on the radio. Not paying for that effing wall. And then later called the wall a racist monument. See, this is the part of the whole immigration debate that baffles me. I realize, I guess if you're a lib, you think that immigration laws are basically racist. Well, but any argument, you just label the other side a racist. Explain to me, please, how a wall that secures a border that is known to be so porous, It lets in waves and waves and waves of undocumented, illegal migrants, many of whom perish, by the way. It's dangerous. Building a wall that stops that or slows it down? How is us installing a door to our house racist? See, this is where truly the left loses me. And I think that I know I have friends who are moderates, you know, who are Democrats and, you know, they don't like Trump. And I have this discussion with them and they agree with me. It's not a racial argument. We just don't. Okay, yes, they're not talking about building a wall in Canada with Canada on the Canadian border. But when it comes to Canada, we don't have waves and waves and waves of Canadians coming across that border, do we? Coming into this country illegally. In fact, probably can't. Will Canada actually build a wall to prevent all the millennials from migrating north after Inauguration Day? I don't think they'd have to make the wall very high because, you know, the millennials aren't particularly, you know, focused on hardworking. You know, just, I guess maybe if you just cut all the Wi-Fi to the border area, you know, if there was just no cell phone coverage, that might do the trick. Well, OK, but the point is, look at the drugs. Look at the migration. We have a border that needs to be regulated. And it's not a question of closing the door. It's always a question of figuring out who's coming through that door. And every sovereign nation has a right to do that. In fact, not just a right, but an obligation to do that. Because of all the world is a dangerous place. It's smaller than it's ever been. And these migrants aren't just people from Mexico. They're people from South Central America, but also potentially people from the Middle East coming here to harm us. And so this is stuff that needs to be looked at. All right, there it is. It's a racist monument, the wall. So be it. All right, we'll be back. We're off on Monday, but we will be back on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Have a great weekend. Good to be here. And see you later. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.